climb aboard this rain report for October 13th, 2012, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain report. Earlier this fall, we ran a couple of excerpts from a Dayton Hamvention presentation on tower safety. There was enough response from that talk that we thought we'd bring you another one that details more with the hardware side of installing towers and antennas safely. This time, we'll be hearing from professional tower and antenna installers John Crovelli, W2GD, and Don Deso, K4ZA. Between the two of them, these gentlemen have shinnied up and down some serious towers for almost 100 years. Both participated in a paper entitled Installing Towers and Antenna Safety at the 2012 Dayton Hamvention. Here's our first of two excerpts from their presentation.
We're going to be talking about some of the things you should do. We're going to be talking about some things that you should not do or things you should avoid. Or if you've got a little bit of a military background, you might remember something called the five Ps. We're only going to talk about four of them, but planning prevents poor performance. So today's talk, or why it's important that you listen to us, we're going to talk about some things that can save you time and money. You probably already know some of these things, maybe even many of them, but you might have forgotten some. We'll talk about some techniques that just might save a life, your own. And we'll share some things that we often see, again, those do's and don'ts, some things that are common mistakes and how to avoid them. Safety is the watchword, of course, of the day. Tower work, as you well know, if you've looked around at all and seen any of the websites, is one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous, occupation in America, according to OSHA. Safety is too often taken for granted, of course. It's oftentimes not even considered by hams. But you should always remember that no job is so important that you should do the job in an unsafe manner. Never rush when doing a tower or antenna installation. Okay, the first steps.
Before you're even close to getting involved with this tower and antenna stuff, you got to think about, what are you really doing? You're developing a system. It's not just a tower. It's not just an antenna. It's a total system. So think that way. Think in systems terms. You're going to think about, okay, what do I want to do? Am I a single op guy? Am I an SO2R guy? Some of you are probably SO3, SO7, SO10 guys. I don't know. It's not my lexicon. Multi-op, multi-single. What is it you really want to have in the backyard and inside the house? We want you to think about the plan first. Always assume you're going to need a permit. We go out and we put up the antennas and towers for guys, and the first thing we ask them when they call, do you have a permit? Do you know how to get a permit? Do you know what a permit is? Anyway, we would direct them over to K1VR's book. We say, buy this and read it. One of the things you have to do when you're getting your permit is you're going to have to interact with some kind of government entity and probably your neighbors. So be cordial. Don't try to slam it down their throats. Do a good job. Remember, this is not a tower again. This is an antenna structure. So when you talk to your neighbors and you talk to your government officials, don't mention the word tower if you can avoid it. One of the things we find when people put up towers and antennas is they don't pay attention to what they're using to do with what could cause you to die. We want to have the best materials possible. There are limits to all materials that you'll use. Be aware of them. Respect them. Towers have limits. Probably half of the people in this room have an overloaded tower. That doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong, but you should realize the potential for calamity. So try to do the right thing the first time. Crank-ups are a particular problem. They are limited in their ability to handle load. Larger antenna arrays. God, you want to be louder. You want to work that 7-0 guy first call on 80 meters. If you're going to have an 80-meter beam, it's probably a good idea to have a professional engineer look at that plan and certify it for you. Don't take chances. Follow what your manufacturer is telling you. Don't overload their spec. Mother Nature has to be considered. Many of us live in northern environments here. We have to deal with snow. We have to deal with ice. We have to deal with wind. Sometimes all three at the same time. Don't undersize what you do. Planning. Again, we wanted you to think toward the future. How many are you going to want? How big are they going to be? What bands are you going to use them for? What kind of arrays are you going to put on them? Think future, because your lives will change. My life has changed. I no longer have a tower, at least not here in the States. So consider that. Size matters. Don't undersize the tower. We're going to emphasize some things that we just see over and over again, the mistakes people make. We want you to avoid them.
instead of 25, maybe use around 45 or around 55 if you're thinking about putting up a stack of 40s or a stack of big 20s. 25 is great. You can find a lot of it out there, but it's not always the right solution. Don't let your budget make you skimp on safety. Don't use things that you really should use something better. Steel tubing rather than aluminum, things like that. There are a whole bunch of examples you're going to see in our hardware discussion in a minute. Finally, follow what Roan says. Follow what U.S. Tower says. Don't overload your towers.
Okay, the idea of used versus new, that's always a concern, especially in that quote-unquote design phase. People often ask us, well, how do we know what to buy? Can I buy used tower? Can I use used tower? Well, the obvious answer is yes, you can, but the idea that you should always have uppermost is you need to know what is or what is not a bargain. Some of the ways in which you can do this, check pricing on QTH.com, eham.net, or you can, you know, seek out advice from some people like us. Not everybody's a millionaire. We have some clients who are, yes, that's very nice. But being practical is all right as well. And the uppermost thought to keep in mind, if the deal seems too good to be true, it probably is.
You're listening to our first excerpt from a 2012 Dayton Hamvention talk entitled Installing Towers and Antennas Safely, a paper presented by lifelong tower and antenna installers John Crovelli, W2GD, and Don Daso, K4ZA. We'll resume their forum talk in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available from therainreport.com and via iTunes on your iPhone.
John mentioned we're going to talk about hardware considerations. You get what you pay for. Purchase properly rated materials and components.
Don't buy junk.
He's been wanting to say that all weekend. Let's look at some of the basic tower hardware. We're going to talk about guys, turnbuckles, thimbles, shackles, nuts and bolts, often misunderstood items. Guying materials. You've got three choices and only three choices. And they are, of course, EHS, extra high strength steel. That doesn't mean aircraft cable or cable you buy at the hardware store. Philly strand or polygon rod. Don't use plastic covered clothesline cable, baling wire, TV hardline. Yes, I once saw a tower guide with TV aluminum hardline. And no, I did not climb it. And yes, the owner was very unhappy. Black Dacon rope or any kind of rope, by the way, for tower guying. We each have experience with towers falling over, guide with rope. The obvious answer here when you're using EHS, Philly strand, or polygon are preform line products, guy grips. They are the preferred choice for each. Cable clamps are still viable, still used sometimes, but if you're going to use them, please install them properly. The old mnemonic device, never saddle a dead horse, still works. And consider your antenna truss material as well. If you're going to change over to Philly strand, maybe even use some Nycopress fittings on it if you can find somebody who has the tool. It makes a much cleaner, smaller, lower profile design, and it's much lighter weight, and it's not going to rust up. You don't use hardware store items ever. This is a real turnbuckle removed from a real tower installation in North Carolina. Yes, that rolled end on one of the guys did come apart. This is what I found at 100 feet on a tower in North Carolina. It doesn't instill a lot of confidence because this is a device that you might use to chain your dog up in your backyard, but it's certainly not a load-rated device and not what you want to have on your guy wire. Again, it's pretty dangerous. Turnbuckles. You should only use heavy-duty galvanized turnbuckles. Size matters, again. The longer is better. We prefer the longest one you can get, which is, of course, 12 inches. We like half-inch diameter. On typical towers, you know, they use quarter-inch or 3/16 guy cable. Chinese hardware works okay. We've each been using it for over 20 years, and neither one of us has experienced any kind of failure or problems. Again, use quality galvanized turnbuckles on your antenna truss cables as well. Replace those little flimsy aluminum things that some manufacturers supply. You'll be much further ahead. Thimbles and shackles, again, an item that's often misunderstood or overlooked. A heavy-duty thimble is what you want to use. You don't use hardware store items. The thimble that you buy at the hardware store is going to be a rope thimble, and that is not what you want to use. You don't want to beat those onto the EQ plate or the end of the turnbuckle either, something that we encounter quite often. You use a shackle there to make that connection. And the shackle of choice is, of course, an anchor shackle because of its shape, and you use the screw pin style. That's the easiest to work with, and you can put that at the EQ plate and the turnbuckle. Mass. Steel tubing is specified for most installations. We like to see 4130 chrome moly used or drawn over mandrel DOM tubing used. Sometimes if it's a lightweight, I do some VHF work for guys in North Carolina. It seems to be a popular state for that. If you're going to do aluminum masting, 6061 T6 alloys are what you should use. Nothing less than quarter inch wall. I prefer a half inch or 3/8 wall. And remember, it's not 1970, so those times when people say, Don, what about water pipe? No, the load will maybe be an inch or two above the thrust bearing or the top of the tower. It's okay. But otherwise, don't even consider using it. Thrust bearing is what we're going to talk about next.
Everybody's seen one of these, I'm sure, a Rhone TB series thrust bearing. And we're going to compare them to a machine shop thrust bearing, which some manufacturers also supply with their towers. First of all, the TB series is really the right thing to use. It's lightweight, it's inexpensive, it's designed to carry a ham load, and most of the time you don't want to load on it anyway. It's really positioning the mast on the tower, not holding it up. But there are some potential problems, obviously. Sometimes the cases crack, but that's usually when they're not properly used or aligned, I should say. Yes, well, it's an insulation issue. When we put these things up, we almost always replace the bolts in there with stainless to mitigate against metal corrosion problem. And then you have the problem if you let it sit. You have some steel ball bearings inside the race. If it sits too long in the same place, you're going to get some wear in there that you don't want. It could get stuck. So the easy thing is just to turn your antenna every once in a while. This is compared to a machine shop bearing. Well, you can see from the first picture there, these things really aren't made to be outside. You have the collar. You can see on the left side of the collar there is that little Allen screw in there. How many people have had a problem with that getting rusted in? I can tell you as a guy who has to try to take them out, it's not any much fun. The solution is the bottom there. You see it all nice and painted up, and they use a nice bolt in there. That is the way to go if you have to use one of these. Another way to thing you want to do is to put some kind of cover over the bearing to keep the moisture off it. There are various plumbing items that you can find that can do that very nicely.
And that concludes our first of two excerpts from a 2012 Dayton Hamvention Forum called Installing Towers and Antennas Safely, presented by professional tower installers John Crivelli, W2GD, and Don Daso, K4ZA. We'll bring you the rest of their talk next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2012, Rain, all rights reserved. Now for all those connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.